In the name of the Holy Trinity. It's so interesting to me that in this time of year, in this season of Easter, 50 days of Easter, while we celebrate the resurrection, our lectionary readings keep taking us back to Jesus' farewell discourse. He's washed his friends' feet, he's eaten dinner with them, and now he's saying goodbye. And he's not only saying goodbye, he's looking toward the future, their future, and I would argue, our future. Jesus has already risen, and here we are again, back to the dinner on the night that he was arrested. I guess part of the reason that we go back to this farewell discourse is that in saying goodbye to his friends, he's also offering them comfort and hope. And who doesn't need comfort and hope? I know I do. Jesus knows full well what is coming, and he's warned his friends about it too. He knows that he's going away, but that's a euphemism. Let's be clear. He knows that he is going to die. And he's told them that, and they, in some cases, meet him with what today we call denial. No, you're not really going to die, are you? Yes, I'm really going to die. So how are they supposed to go on the way that he's laid out for them, on the way that he's laid out for them without him here on earth to guide them? They've kind of put all of their eggs in one basket, really. They've left their families and their friends and their old ways of living to follow Jesus, this renegade rabbi who really showed no respect at all for the powers that rule the world or the powers that ruled the world sanctified religion that he was part of, Judaism of his day. And now here he is about to die and go to the Father. Now, putting myself in their places, I have to think that I would have been torn with some conflicting emotions here. First, I'd have been distraught and really sad about the fact that my beloved leader was going to die. Sure, we all know we're going to die someday, but when we're faced with the stark reality of a loved one's death, real death, coming real soon, we often go down into that deepest, darkest emotional place, which can be expressed as denial often or just gut-wrenching sadness. And even though we believe in the resurrection and that death does not get the final word, it's hard to say goodbye, isn't it? Especially when there's some lingering unfinished business. And from what I've learned about the people that I've loved that have died, there is always lingering unfinished business. And again, this is for me, it usually begins with the feeling that I was never adequately able to show them how much I loved them. And Jesus seems to be telling his friends, don't worry about that. They can show their love for him even after he has gone from them by keeping his commandments. And let's review what those commandments are again. Love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love each other as I have loved you. They're so simple and yet so hard to keep. Love God, love each other as he has loved us. Jesus tells us, yeah, it's hard. Yeah, you can do it. Still, putting myself in their places, I think I also might be feeling a little more than a little resentful. Thanks, Jesus. You've given me a beautiful vision of what the kingdom of God might look like. You've shown me how to live my life as if the kingdom was already here. You've been an amazing embodiment of God on earth in human flesh, and now you're going away? Now what am I supposed to do? This attitude is voiced by the disciples in various places in the readings, not this week, but before and after. So I'm just struck with the compassion that Jesus shows to his friends as he says goodbye to them on the eve of his death. Last week, we heard Jesus tell them, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." Or as Jimmy paraphrased it so beautifully, "There, there, dear hearts." Today, he tells them, and that is, he tells us, "I will not leave you orphaned." I just love that. It speaks to perhaps my deepest fear and perhaps some of your deepest fears of being abandoned, being left behind, being orphaned. It's what I hope to tell my kids if I get the chance, and let's face it, I have the chance, so I'd better tell them that even though I'm going to be gone someday, you are not going to be left orphaned. You will not be abandoned. And I believe that I can say that in a very real way because I also believe that if we can leave anything behind after we're gone, it's the echoes of the love that we've shown to people in this world. In this one chance that we have at this life on earth, and folks, we only do get one shot at it. This is not practice. We create ripples that spread out all around us. Ripples that continue to spread even after we're gone. The things we do and the words that we say have real effects. Words and acts of love really do spread love, spread circles of love rippling through the water, because we are all connected in God's creation. Another way to talk about this is that creation is a net. Pluck it here and it reverberates everywhere. And that's what I want to assure my children of, and that's what I want to assure us of today, that none of us are orphaned, and that none of us leave this world without leaving ripples behind. Some of us may make a bigger splash, it's undeniable. Some of our ripples are bigger or spread farther. But every one of us undeniably affect the world and the people that we come in contact with. And we're all pebbles thrown into the world. And we can leave ripples of love behind us when we leave. Of course, we can leave other kinds of ripples behind too, can't we? Ripples of fear, or ripples of destruction, or ripples of greed. That's why I believe that the words we use and the way we act are always, truly, life and death matters. We can spread life and light and love, or we can spread darkness and negativity and pain. But we cannot have no effect on creation. It's just not possible. So back to this sort of time warp we find ourselves in today, living in and celebrating Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, looking back to the night before the crucifixion with Jesus, telling his friends about what life will be like in the future while he is no longer with them. Kind of makes my head spin trying to keep all of these timelines in order, but maybe that's kind of the point for me today. I believe that Jesus is speaking directly to us in today's reading, that position we find ourselves in as followers of Jesus 2,000 years later. It's much like the situation that his friends found themselves in that night, feeling a little or maybe more than a little uncertain about the future, wondering if we're up to the task of loving God and loving each other, wondering about how we're supposed to go about living our lives in ways that create ripples of love in this busy, uncertain world. And you know, I've got to be honest, I wonder sometimes if I'm up to the task of even encouraging you to live lives that reverberate love, or to try to convince you that it even makes sense to live lives that seem to the world at large as naive or even deluded. I mean, for heaven's sake, if you believe that the world really runs on politics and economics, then you might think me naive and deluded when I tell you that the most important thing that we can do is to love. Here's what I'd like to propose. We all live our lives in response to stories, either stories that we tell ourselves or stories that the world tells us. Here's one story. The world runs on supply and demand. The fittest survive and flourish. the weakest get left behind. The highest good is the individual and her own self-interest. Perfectly good story if you happen to be one of the more fortunate. Not such a good story if you happen to be one of the least fortunate. But a story that wields incredible power in the world nonetheless. It's the story that the world tells us, and we can believe it or not. Then there are those stories that we sometimes tell ourselves. I'm unlovable because I'm unworthy. I never got the love I needed, therefore I will never get the love I need. I've done bad things, and therefore I deserve to be lonely and alone. There isn't enough love to go around. I am an orphan. These are stories that we can tell ourselves and believe, or not. Jesus tells his friends the story of what is to come for them after he's gone. He tells them that God will send them the Advocate, and by that he means that most mysterious member of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of love, and that the Spirit will be with them always, but not just with them, actually in them. And that Jesus will be in God, and that we will be in him, and that he will be in us. And here's that image of the web again, that everything is cosmically connected. You, me, God, the Holy Spirit, creation. Pluck it here, and it vibrates throughout. Drop a pebble of love in here, and the ripples travel out in ways we can never predict and can never direct. It's the story of what Jesus came and accomplished for us, and we can believe it or not. But that's the story that I choose to believe today, this sixth Sunday of Easter. And I'd like to encourage us all as we go about our busy lives to be aware of the stories that we believe, because those are the stories we act out in our lives. And we remember, and I pray that we remember to drop that pebble or to be that pebble into the world, that deed or word of love, and watch the ripples expand. Amen.